said, this nation is peculiar to me. The result, they have found favor in my sight. And because of the favor they found, I will exempt them. The result of that favor this morning, lift up your hands and give him thanks. Lord, I thank you for your favor. Your favor that is undeniable. I thank you, Lord, for your divine favor. I worship and exalt your holy name. Thank you for divine favor. Thank you for favor that has resulted in exemption. I give you praise and glory this morning. I give you honor and adoration. Thank you for exempting my family from all the horrors of the earth, from all the horrors of the day. Thank you, King of Lords and Lord of Kings. Blessed and blessed be your name. In Jesus' most marvelous name we have given thanks. In Jesus' precious name we have given thanks. If not for the favor of God, that woman would have been crushed there. Favor exempted her. Favor exempted her. Said it was the ark, it was the cart that stopped the car. It was Jesus that stopped it. Glory to God. And for that wonderful testimonies and the testimonies of plane crash, and he's still here this morning, alive and well, that means you can't die young. Lift up those hands and give him thanks again. Lord, for longevity, no accident permitted in our midst, no incident permitted in our midst. We are dangerously covered. We give you thanks and praise, Lord. We give you glory and honor. In Jesus' most precious name, we have given thanks. And for this awesome choir this morning, can you put your hands together? Glory to God. Hallelujah. And please help me congratulate your neighbor on your right and left this morning. Tell your neighbor it's a new day for you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise and glory. Speak to us again this hour and let your name be exalted. In Jesus' marvelous name we pray. Hallelujah. This month, we have been looking at the caption, Unveiling the Wonders of Genuine Love for God, in our Sunday services, and this will be the last one for the month. Unveiling the Wonders of Genuine Love for God, Part 4b. You see, let me start this morning by saying again, you cannot be in love and not know. No one will be in love and not know. Glory to God. That's why Jesus asked, when Jesus asked Peter, John 21 and verse 15. So when they are dying, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than this? He said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, Feed my lambs. And then he kept asking, Peter, do you love me? He said, You know I do. Said he asked him a third time, Peter, do you love me? You can't love and not know, and the person you love will also know. So he said, but you know all things. You know all things. Why do you keep asking me? You know all things, and you know that I love you. Glory to God. I said humorously in the first service, have you ever wondered why both parties are asked in a marriage ceremony this question, do you take this person as your lover forever and ever? In other words, the pastor is simply asking you, in case you need to get out now, if you are not sure, this is your time. Just in case you were forced into it, just in case you were coerced into it, and you didn't know how to get out, this is your time. Because after now, you are in it forever. Glory to the name of the Lord. Because love is a choice, and it is not by force. Love is a choice and not by force. Glory to God. Love is a choice. Paul said, I have made a choice to love God. I have decided. I have made a choice. I was not coerced into it. I made a choice to do it. Romans 8, 35 to 38. And so he said, who shall separate us from that love? The one that is by choice. He said, shall tribulation or distress? He said, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril. He said, or sword. It says, as it is written, we are, for thy sake, we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. It says, but in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Glory to God. He said, not only that, what others are running away from cannot stop me from loving you. He says, for I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, things to come that I don't even know about, things to come that may want to test my love. He said, nothing can stop me from loving you. Why? Because it is a choice. It is not by force. And why is love so important? Love is at the root of everything that is working in the kingdom. What love is what makes whatever is working work. Without love, so we can call love the engine room of everything that is working. Love is the engine room of everything that is working. 1 Corinthians 13 and verses 1 to 3, he said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, he said, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. He said, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and I have not love, he says, I am nothing. And then he said, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profited me nothing. Paul was simply speaking about three powerful things that works in the kingdom. That is faith, power, and he's talking about faith, power, and giving. Those three things are very powerful in the kingdom. And if they are working, at the root of it is love making it work. At the root of them. TLB translation of that scripture. It will give us better understanding. He said, if I had the gift of being able to speak in other tongues, other languages without learning them, and could speak in every language there is in all of heaven and earth, but didn't love others, I would only be making noise. He said, if I have the gift of prophecy and knew all about what is going to happen in the future, knew everything about everything, but didn't love others, what good would it be? He said, even if I had the gift of faith so that I could speak to mountains, to a mountain to make it move, I would still be worth nothing at all without love. And now this is the one that struck me. If I gave everything I have to the poor, and if I were burned alive for preaching the gospel, but didn't love others, it would be of no value whatsoever. If I were burned alive for preaching the gospel. In other words, if I sacrificed my life for the gospel, and behind the gospel is not God's kind of love, it profits me nothing. Behind preaching of that gospel is not God's kind of love. It is because of self. It is because of my selfish interest. It is because of what I want to gain from it. It's not because of the love of God. He says, I just died for nothing. Love is powerful. Glory to God. And so he said in verse 8 of that same scripture, TLB version, all the special gifts and powers from God will someday come to an end. All the special gifts and powers from God will someday come to an end, but love goes on forever. Someday, prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge, these gifts will disappear. That's why love is not a gift. Love is a choice. Have you ever seen somebody that God gave me the gift to love? Love is a choice. Every other thing will disappear because they are gifts. He says they have the gift of faith. Someone has the gift of giving. Someone has the gift of empowerment. But there is no gift of love. Love is a choice that makes the gifts work. Love is a conscious choice that makes the gifts work. Glory to God. Now, very quickly, how do I even know that I love God? How do I know that I love God? Or benefits of genuine love for God, however you want to put it. Number one, genuine love for God makes the lover crave for the house of God. Genuine love for God makes the lover crave for the house of God. You generally love the house of your lover. No genuine lover despises the house of their lover. For those of you who were in a relationship before, and your spouse had a father and a mother, you know what you went through. Especially if they didn't like you or something. And you go, they chase you, you still go back. They chase you, you still go back. I don't want to see you with that boy again. But you still go back. Why? Because that is the house of your lover. The house of a lover is always enticing. You always want to go back there. So if the church is house, his house, if you are not excited coming to his house, check your love for him. Check your love for him. If you are not excited coming to his house, check your love for him. David said, Psalm 122 and verse 1, he says, I was glad when they say unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. David said, there are so many reasons I love the house of God. So many reasons. And then he said in Psalm 87 verses 1 to 7, he says, these are some of the reasons. He said, his foundation is in the holy mountains. That is the foundation of our faith is deposited in church. That's why when you preach to someone or when you talk to someone about Jesus, you said to them, find a living church and dwell there. His foundation is in the holy mountain. Verse 2, the Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. He said, I will make mention of Rahab and of Babylon to them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia. This man was born there. He says, and of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her. The law shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born there. He says, and as well as singers, I remember one day when I just got born again, there was no money in my hand to go to church. But I said, no way. I walked to the street and I stood by the roadside. Anyhow, I will get to church. If you are going to move me, and I find myself in church, anyhow, I must go to church today. And I stood by the roadside and somebody parked their car, took me to church, still gave me money. You see, the house of your lover is not far. The house of your lover will always be enticing to you. If it's a burden coming to church, check your love for God. Because what simply means is that you are not coming to meet with God, you are coming to meet with man. And if you are coming to meet with man will always disappoint you. So it's already a burden on the inside of you coming to your father's house, because you are not coming to meet your father, you are coming to meet with others. If you are coming to meet with your father, it will be enticing to you to appear in Zion. David said again, some other benefits. Psalm 84 verses 1 to 12. How amiable are thy tabernacles? He says, O Lord of hosts, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cried out for the living God. He said, yea, the sparrow had found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Why? We are even on thine altar. That is, birds prefer to come to the house of God to come and give birth on the altar. Birds. He said, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain also filled the pools. And then he said, they go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion, the ones that appear before God. Appeared before God. He said, O Lord of Jacob of hosts, hear my prayer in Zion. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. He said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. He says, for the Lord is a sword and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. In his house, I can't stop talking about your house. He said, I prefer it. Birds of the air said, I prefer it to the labor room. David said, there is touchable peace in your house. Verse 4 of that scripture. He said, they shall be still. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They shall be still praising you. That is, a touchable peace is in his house. When we come to his house and our spirit is troubled before coming, he says, then we, as we are going back, we have received peace. Why? Because that's what it is in his house. They shall be still praising you. Nothing will be bothering them anymore. Then he said again, there is unusual strength in your house. They go from strength to strength. Every day I appear at your house, my strength is renewed for another 100 years. I thought I would hear your amen. Yeah. There is unbelievable covering in your house. He says, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. Unbelievable covering. He says, I would rather come to your house than go to the house of wicked people. Psalm 96 and verse 6. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Genuine lovers are always looking forward to going to his house. Looking forward to going to his house. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I said, glory to God. You see, I said in the first service, the reason many don't know what they are coming to do in church, the reason many give little attention to church, to his house, is because they don't know the benefits of the house. They have no idea who they are coming to meet. Hebrews now, chapter 12, 22 to 24. Now, take note. Every time you are coming to Zion, to the house of your lover, these are the people you are coming to meet. He says, but ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an what? Innumerable company of angels. Someone here right now, an angel is sitting by your side. And already speaking to you, already fanning you, there is some form of discomfort with you, and the angel is comforting you. You can't see him, but he's there. Innumerable company of angels. Keep going. And that's not all. He says to the general assembly. And what? Who is he talking about? Which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than the blood of Abel. Which house will you go to that you can meet these people there? Not even in your house. They are not in my house. Blood of sprinkling. You do it physically when you get home. They say, today is blood of sprinkling. You are struggling to get the blood of sprinkling to take to your house. He says, blood of sprinkling is done invisibly here. As we are seated, we have been sprinkled. In Zion. Somebody was sick. They said, go. No, you can't come. They said, no, it's church I want to go. Anything that wants to kill me, let him come and get me in church. Because there is blood of sprinkling. Innumerable company of angels. Jesus Christ himself is there. Which house will you go to that you will meet these people? But two, quickly. Genuine love for God results in speedy answers to our prayers. Have you ever seen a man or a woman that will keep their lover and not answer their phone except they are fighting? Glory to God, except there is something. But if there is genuine love that we are talking about, you have not picked your phone because you have been busy, very busy. So you kept the phone. You see the phone ringing. You see the names of the people calling. You are saying, should I not? I will call later. The ones that don't even have number, you are saying, no go area. But your lover mistakenly flashes you. You pick the call by yourself again. Hello? Sweetheart, I just saw your missed call now. It was not a missed call, it was a missed flash. Oh, I it was just a mistake. I was just playing with the phone. I didn't know it rang there. You don't keep your lover out. You take them from the back of the queue to the front of the queue. So when we are on the altar of prayer, what happens? Jesus takes us, his genuine lovers, from the back of the queue, prayer queue, to the front. That means speedy answer. That's why he said before they call, he answers. Before they call, flash, he answers. Ah, did it ring there? It rang here. Yeah, I didn't know. It was just a mistake. And yet, as you are speaking with the person, oh, it was a mistake. Oh, I'm just busy. You see another one coming in. That one has called 3 times. I will call this person back later. But you don't ignore your lover. Look at this. Leave it there. 1 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 14. God himself speaking. He says, the Lord had sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord had commanded him to be captain over his people. He's speaking through his prophet. That means David's genuine love for God has been confirmed. And then God said, then David was in trouble one day, and David said to God, 1 Samuel 30 and verse 8, and David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Lovers of God are not permitted to suffer loss. Everything that you may have lost before now, in this service, there shall be forceful recovery. Amen. And then he said, again in verses 17 to 18 of the same scripture, and David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day, and there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered all. You will recover all. Amen. When you ask in prayer today, there shall be speedy answers for you. Amen. Genuine lovers cannot be kept on the line. They are given special priority. As a matter of fact, you know, if you have like an airline that you use every time, there is what is called priority. And they give you a priority line. So the line that everybody is calling is not the one you are calling. Why? They don't want to keep you on the line. You are important to them. You mean a lot to their business. God is saying, your genuine love for me will not make me keep you on the prayer altar. There was a challenge again for David. 2 Samuel chapter 5, 18 to 19. It says, the Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to the Philistines? Will thou deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said unto David, go up. I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thy hand. David, the lover of God, David never for once kept on the altar of prayer. There was never a time David called God and God didn't answer. But there were several times when Saul called God, and the Bible says God was silent. God was silent. Why? Because his love was questionable. His love for God was questionable. Saul reversed the order of love. Remember what David said, what Peter said, what was written in scriptures. He says, when Peter asked Jesus,
which is the greatest command. He says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God first, with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. First, and the second, love the people as yourself. But Saul reversed it. Saul preferred the people to God. So, when Saul goes to God to ask questions, the Bible says God was silent. And Saul was going to witches to now ask questions. That's, you will know his level of heart for God. He abandoned his father and then began to go to witches for answer. You won't find yourself there. Amen. I said you will not be found there. Amen. Benefits of genuine love for God. Number three, genuine love puts believers in command of the supernatural. Love is the grand commander of the supernatural. How many believe that? Love is the grand commander of the supernatural, because God is love. And God is the grand commander of the supernatural. So love is the grand commander of the supernatural. A manifestation of genuine love for God puts us in the class of love. Which means manifestation of genuine love for God puts us in the class of God to manifest like he would. To manifest like he would. Ephesians 3, 17 to 19. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth all understanding. So when our love for Christ which passes all understanding is confirmed, he says then we will be filled with all the fullness of God. And when we are filled with the fullness of God, whatever love is capable of doing, we will be able to do them. Acts of Apostles 14 and verse 11. And when the people saw what Paul had done, Paul, the lover of God, the dangerous, genuine lover of God, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. Because what is happening at their hands can only happen by the hand of God. What is happening by their hands can only happen. The Bible says they even wanted, Paul had to stop them. No, don't do that. They wanted to start worshiping him. Because what is happening here can only happen by the hand of God. I see dangerous things happening at your hands right now. The hand of God will be, you will be an extension of the hand of God. Glory to the name of the Lord. Manifestation of genuine love for God. Benefit number four, very quickly. Genuine love for God releases the blessings of God on the lover. It releases the blessings of God on the lover. God confirmed the genuine love of Abraham, and God gave him an unusual title. God gave him an unusual title. You know how you give your lover pet names? Hi, sweetheart. Hi, rock. Hi, sugar. Hi, honey. Hi, whatever you want to call them. You have a pet name for them. God gave Abraham a pet name. He said to him in James 2 and verse 23, he says, and it was called the friend of God. The friend of God. No, it is not easy to be called the friend of God. He has never called everybody his friend to God. Glory to God. Friend to God. How? Even his son, he didn't say, Jesus, my friend. Abraham, my friend. He said, will I do anything without telling my friend Abraham? He said, let me go to him first and tell him. That's how close they were. That's how the kind of love that they shared. Will I go and do anything without telling my friend Abraham? And he went there again. Abraham, I'm going to do something. And then as friends, they started to talk. My friend, okay, if you see 40 people there, will you still do it? I say, for your sake, I won't do it. If you see 10, will you still do it? For your sake, I won't do it. If you see 5, will you still do it? He say, for sake of 5, I won't do it. Because Abraham thought that at least in the house of Lot, there should be 5 people. There should be 5 people who are born again. So nobody is born again in that house. He said, scriptures, go and study scriptures. He went out the following morning to see what happened. Was anybody saved? And when he saw the fire,
As a matter of fact, when they were dragging Lot to go, the Bible says he was rescued because of the love of God for Abraham. He would have been killed.
Abraham, my friend. And so, Isaiah chapter 51, verses 1 to 3, his lover turned him to a generational blessing. He says, hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Look unto Abraham, your friend. That means, let Abraham be your example. Look unto Abraham, your friend, my friend. And he said, I have increased him on every side, for the Lord shall comfort Zion. He turned him to a generational blessing. You will be turned to a generational blessing. Amen. I said, you will be turned to a generational blessing. Amen. One other thing he did for Abraham, for us, is that for lovers, is that he exempts lovers. He does not allow lovers to see what others are seeing. He exempts them. He does not allow lovers to see what others are seeing. Except your spouse is a wicked person, they will give priority to you. I mean, when it comes to some certain things, priority will be given first to the lover in exemption. Exemption. There is scarcity of food. This is the last meal. And then you go and give it to people outside? No, you give it to your lover first. You give it to your lover first. And you might be taking the spoon one by one. You won't rush. You are not rushing it before your lover. I mean, understand what God is talking about. Exemption from every form of calamity. Our lover says he gives priority to us. For example, let's take a look at five things now that happened, especially in the church in the wilderness. Number one, they were exempted from swarms of flies. And that simply means in today, decadence and stench. That is, wherever you have suffered shame, it will reverse it for you.
Amen.
Your amen is weak.
Amen.
Exodus 8, 20 to 24. And the Lord said unto Moses, rise ye up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. He said, lo, he cometh forth to the water, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. Or else, if you do not let my people go, I will send swarms of flies upon thee and upon thy servants. And because he didn't let the people go, the Bible says in verse 24, and the Lord did so. And there came a grievous swarm of flies into the house of Pharaoh, and into the house of his servants, and into all the land of Egypt. The land was corrupted by the reason of the swarm of flies. But in verse 22, I will sever in that day the land of Goshen in which my people live, that no swarms of flies shall be there, so that you will know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. The exemption that God will confirm on your life will bring people to Christ.
Amen.
It will prove to people that you are with God. Number two, quickly, type of exemption. Exemption from death of cattle. That simply means exemption in today, exemption from collapse of businesses and careers. While businesses are dying, you will be buying them.
Amen.
While they are firing people, they will not but hire you.
Amen.
Exemption. God said to Moses again, go and say to Pharaoh, let my people go, that they may serve me. And then he said in Exodus 9, 3 to 7, behold, if you don't let them go, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thy cattle, which is in the field, upon the horses, upon the asses, upon the camels, upon the oxen, upon the sheep, and there shall be a very grievous murrain. And the Lord shall sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt. And there shall nothing die of all that is in the children of Israel. And the Lord appointed a set time, saying, tomorrow the Lord shall do this thing in the land. And the Lord did that thing on the morrow, and the cattle of Egypt died. But of the cattle of the children of Israel died not one. And Pharaoh wanted to confirm it. So the Bible says in verse 7, and Pharaoh sent, and behold, there was not one cattle of the Israelites dead. And the heart of Pharaoh was still hardened, and he did not let the people go. You are going free.
Amen.
I said you are going free.
Amen.
Never will anyone here or watching online suffer any form of investment loss.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ. Everything you touch will turn to gold in your hands.
Amen.
If it is failing for people, you are exempted, it will work in your hands.
Amen.
I said it might be failing for others, but when you get there, it will work.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Number three, quickly, hails and tempests mingled with fire. They were exempted from hails and tempests mingled with fire. What does that mean today? We will be exempted from devastation and destruction.
Amen.
I didn't hear your amen.
Amen.
Everyone here will be exempted from devastation and destruction.
Amen.
Your household shall be exempted from destruction.
Amen.
Your properties shall not suffer destruction.
Amen.
There shall be no loss of lives.
Amen.
Exodus 9, 18 to 26. He said, behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as has not been seen in Egypt since the foundation thereof even until now. Send therefore now and gather thy cattle and all that thou hast in the field and for upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field and shall not be brought home, the hail shall come down upon them and they shall die. And the Bible says that there were some Egyptians who trusted the word of the Lord because they feared him. Because of the fear of the Lord. Verse 20 said, verse 20. He that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the house. I need this exemption. And the word of the Lord has spoken again. I better pay attention to it. And then what happened? Verse 21, 25 to 26. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast. And the hail smote every herb of the field and break every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, was there no hail. The hail smote the land of Egypt, but those who took their sheep into their houses were not affected. But their land was affected. For you, you won't suffer loss again.
Amen.
I said you will not suffer loss again.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ. Whatsoever destruction, whatsoever devastation, you will not experience it.
Amen.
Just like the Lord exempted our sister, the Lord will exempt her us.
Amen.
Number four, quickly, gross darkness. They were exempted from gross darkness. And that means in today, lack of direction, stagnation, frustration, despair. When frustration comes, when stagnation comes, it always results in frustration. You won't be frustrated again.
Amen.
Knowing what to do will be made clear to you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ. No one here will run dry of divine ideas.
Amen.
Exodus 10, 21 to 23. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out now thy hand toward heaven, that may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness that may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. All the children of Israel had light. You won't be dry of ideas.
Amen.
And finally, the plague of sudden death. My prayer is no one in this assembly will die young.
Amen.
And anyone appointed unto death, it shall be forcefully canceled right now.
Amen.
Exodus 12, 29 to 31. And it came to pass that at midnight, the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. From the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon. And then when they rose up in the morning, all the servants and Egyptians, there was a great cry in Egypt. Where people are crying, you'll be laughing.
Amen.
It will not come near your dwelling.
Amen.
in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are going out of every bondage and threat of death in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? Psalm 118 and verse 17. I shall not die, but live to declare the works of the Lord. I shall not die. I shall not die. I thought you would say it to yourself. Say, I shall not die. As I say, I shall not die. Me. Glory to God. No one here will die young. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because we have a better covenant based on better promises. We have a better covenant based on better promises. Say with me, exemption is my right in redemption. But how do we exercise our right in redemption? Number one, believe in your exemption right in redemption. Believe in it. Have faith in it. Psalms 91 is your portion. Verses 1 to 7. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He said, I will say unto the Lord, of the Lord is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He says, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. He said, he shall cover thee. He said, his truth shall be thy shield and buckler. He says, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. He said, 1,000 will fall on your right, 10,000 on thy right. It shall not come near you. Believe it. Say, I believe it.
I believe it.
And what we believe is what we are entitled to. Hebrews 10:38. Now, the just shall live by faith. Glory to God. Number two, quickly. Keep the love of God alive in your heart. Keep love alive. And then love will keep redemption alive. Exemption alive. Keep love alive. Love will keep exemption alive. Psalm 91 and verse 14. Because he had set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he had known my name. Glory to God. Number three, quickly. Remain dedicated to kingdom advancement endeavors. Remain dedicated to kingdom advancement endeavors. He sent the 70. The Bible is in Luke chapter. Glory to God. He sent the 70 in Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 2. And the Bible says they returned with joy. And then the Bible says God, Jesus gave them authority, power again. He said, I see Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And so we are now in authority. We are in authority. Believe it. Believe it. So if you believe it, engage in kingdom advancement endeavors. Yesterday, like you heard in the announcement, we were close to 50 people, if not more. Yesterday, some on their knees, some on the go, some on the phones. Engage. Consistency is what commands consistent exemption. Consistency of service commands consistent exemption. You will not lag behind. Number four, finally, speak openly of your exemption rights. Speak openly. There are some people that will never say some things because they don't want to offend their friends. Speak openly of your exemption right. And the reason you don't want to say it is because you don't want to talk behind you. You don't want them to laugh at you. But if you don't, what you don't say, you can't see. Speak openly of your exemption right. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. It's your mouth. Nobody should be able to stop you from speaking. It's your mouth. To see it, you must say it. If you do not want to be oppressed, you have to speak. Bible says concerning Jesus, in Isaiah 53 and verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Say with me, what happens to others is not permitted to happen to me. What happens to others is not permitted to happen to me. You have said it now. Correct? Don't step outside of the church now and reverse it. You meet somebody outside now that wasn't even coming from the church or something. Bro, this Canada is hard, though. It's hard. Let's not lie. It's hard here. You join them. My brother, just that I've been keeping quiet, though. It's harder than I thought. Whatever you say is what you command. Some people see hardness. Some people see softness. You see hardness because you think I'm going through a hard time. But no. Ain't going through no hard times. God is just simply taking me step by step to my destination. My position is not my final destination. So you see hardness, I see softness. The softness I see is what I will say. Laugh at me all you want. After it has manifested, you will still come and celebrate with me. Rise up on your feet. Glory to God. Give God thanks. Let's give him praise. Let's give him glory, honor, adoration. Father, we thank you. We exalt your name. We give you praise and glory. Thank you and thank you and thank you, Lord. Be thou exalted. Be thou magnified. In Jesus' most glorious name, we have prayed.